This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Issues 2024. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Wichita Public School Superintendent Kelly Bielefeld. Welcome to Issues 2024. Nice to have you with us.
Great to be here, Steve.
You know, the school board has been taking some input from citizens on the budget for the coming school year. What can you give us an idea what that final spending total will be, that magic number?
Well, the magic number off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you. We've reduced the budget by about 25 to 30 million compared to last year's budget. The budgeting process we're going through currently in the August-September timeframe is really about setting, our mill rates for property taxes for the next year. And I think the board is excited that we're going to be able to decrease that mill rate to the lowest it's been in, 14 years as far as the school district goes. So they've heard from constituents, that property tax relief is something that is desired in the community because valuations have been going up so much that they'd like to offset some of that, and decrease the mill rate. And I believe we're going to be able to do that to honor that desire from the board. With the overall budget, though, like I said, we've decreased it some. Most of that came from the school closures from last year, but we were able to, throughout all of that, give a substantial raise to all staff, not just teachers, but a 5% raise to all of our staff. Our base starting teacher salary is above $50,000, so if you're starting out as a teacher, you'll start above $50,000 a year, which is pretty significant for us. We know we need to be competitive to retain and recruit the best teachers for the district. So that's kind of where the budget stands right now. And there's a few more board meetings that will come up here in the next few weeks that will kind of solidify what I just said. But that's really where we see it landing.
At one time we were talking about a deficit of what, 16 million or something like that. Is that still the way we're going, or what?
Well, into this next year, it would be less than that. It really, our funding is driven by our student enrollment. And so as we see what enrollment looks like here as we start the year, that'll shape that budget heading into next year. There still is some work to do. There's still more reductions that need to be had. We're going to try as best we can to keep those away from teachers and classrooms and look more at the administrative centers, the non-attendance centers, to come up with some of those dollars. But, we're only a week into school so far, but, enrollment trends are holding fairly steady. We see a projected decrease in the future in the long term, but it isn't like we're falling off an enrollment cliff by any means. It looks to be fairly steady, maybe down just a little bit, but probably less than 0.5%, compared to last year. And that's still up in the air because, kids come and go and shuffle, and we're still enrolling kids in some of our specialized programs. But yeah, it's looking like we're gonna still be about 47,000 students and the by far the largest school district in the state of Kansas here again next year.
I did a story yesterday on the St. Louis school district, and theirs is only 20,000. Of course, that city is mostly suburbs, I guess, or something. But you got a big school district here in the middle of the country.
Yeah, we do. It's both a challenge and an opportunity to have that size. We have the ability to have some volume, so to speak, as far as staff and being able to, move them around and adjust accordingly as we need to. But, the size is also can be a challenge. The way school districts across the nation are kind of divided up, it's interesting. We're bigger than a lot of metropolitan areas that have a lot bigger population than us just because, our square mileage goes, you know, far and wide across Sedgwick County. We actually, you know, we educate kids. Our school district covers five municipalities. You know, we have parts of Kichai, parts of Bel Air, parts of Park City, Eastboro, and Wichita. So, yeah, we're pretty vast across as far as the area goes, and then one of the top 100 school districts in the nation as far as enrollment goes.
The COVID just had such an impact on everybody and everything, but really, really felt it in the schools. Are we back from that, or will we ever get back where we were before COVID, do you think?
Well, I think that there's probably different answers to that. I think as far as most of the, you know, that 18 to 24 months right after the, you know, March 2020 shutdown, that was really challenging all across the nation. I mean, I think there was a lot of, dysregulated students, dysregulated adults, just a lot of kind of, you know, people being up and down. And you saw it all kind of all across the country. That is much, much better. I think we've had a great start to the school year. We will always have challenges and we'll always have, you know, students that come with, you know, trauma and that sometimes comes with behaviors that don't fit into the school system real well, and we have to work with those kids to help, you know, curb those behaviors. But overall, that kind of narrative really has been improved a lot since COVID. I do think we still see some of the impacts of the learning loss, so to speak, that kids had. You know, you think of those, my own son, right? My own son was a kindergartner in that 2021 school year. It was, you know, learning remotely, and the challenges of, you know, learning ABCs and how to count and all of that on a computer probably will continue to have impact, you know, as we move along. But, you know, kids are resilient and our teachers are great. And I do think a lot of our data is back to where it was prior to COVID. We've got a lot of work to do and a lot of room to improve as far as that goes. But, so those last 2 years, we've seen, definite gains as far as achievement goes with kids and really getting back to where we were prior, you know, in the 18-19 school year, 19-20 school year, depending on how you look at it.
Well, and let's talk about test scores for a minute, because it had to have had an impact on test scores. And have you been able to make a comeback there as well in test scores?
Yeah. I mean, I think overall, our state assessment scores are close to where they were prior to COVID. We look at other measures than just that test. Our average ACT score for our high school kids went up a full point, went up from, 16.9 to 17.9 last year, which is still, 15.9 to 16.9, which is still a little bit below. I think 17.3 was our highest average for the district. So it's still a little bit below where we were, but a huge, huge improvement. We saw some different grade levels that had large spikes, and really no areas that it trended down significantly, right? It's always a little bit of a mixed bag, but we're really excited about our, third grade reading's been an initiative in the district for years, dating back to Dr. Thompson and that strategic plan. And we saw anywhere from, 4 to 5% growth with last year's third graders, which was significant, right? We've put a lot of resources into that. We've tried to increase literacy. We know that if third graders can read, they're much more likely to graduate. So we've seen great gains in that, and are starting to surpass the pre-COVID numbers that we were at. So definitely trending in the right direction.
You know, it's something that would be the measure of any school district because of the challenges involved. What's the graduation rate? The kids who actually make it through and get through the senior year, is it good compared to others?
Well, I honestly think for the size of our district, it is. We're up above 80%, which doesn't sound great, but you don't have to look too far outside of our district boundaries to see, districts that are in the high 80s or 90 percent. So we're not too far off other districts that you know, compared to us locally. And then we surpass other urban districts, you know, nationally when it comes to that. That's not that there aren't some that do better, but there's many that, you know, are you know, in the 60 and 70%. And again, a lot of credit to the team and Dr. Thompson to build that infrastructure in place to get that. The way graduation rate is calculated in Kansas, it's fairly complex, and I won't go into it, but another way to look at graduation is the number of graduates, and we believe this past year we've had a record number of graduates, more graduates than any time in our history, and that includes, you know, adults who graduate with, you know, get a diploma as an adult. That includes our incarcerated youth. We graduated, I believe, last count it was 18 or 19 students, high school students who happen to be incarcerated. You know, those are our students too. We believe that high school diploma is an avenue to future success for them. So we saw a lot of great work done in the graduation, trying to get kids across the stage and get credits and all of that kind of stuff. We won't know our final number for the class of 24 until, about late October, when the state kind of calculates it all. But we're optimistic we'll surpass that 80% and maybe even get higher. So,
have the start of classes this year been smooth so far?
Yeah. We were just actually reminiscing that, I don't know if you remember, a year ago was when we had the 110 degree days for 8 days straight or whatever that was. It was the start of school last year was pretty miserable, and our HVAC had trouble keeping up, and we were, you know, scrambling, and, you know, actually had to cancel a school day for one school last year. So the fact that it's 88 degrees is that helps to get it started, but really a lot of positive, you know, a lot of positive momentum to start this year. We tried a new thing this, well, it's not new, but I think it's been 30 or 40 years since the district brought all staff together for a big pep rally to start the year. So August 6th, we had what we called the Rally on the River and brought about 8,000 staff to Riverfront Stadium for just a big pep rally and celebration, and celebrate teachers and try to inspire them and get them excited for the year. And I think that set a tone for a lot of positivity in the buildings, a lot of camaraderie, and really feeling like people are connected and belong. That was our goal, and it was a pretty fun event. It was a good day.
You're listening to Issues 2024 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Wichita Public School Superintendent Kelly Bielefeld. Tell us about Creative Minds Program. What's this all about?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. So, to describe, you know, what it is, we started a kind of a pilot program that's one classroom, so we have 20 kids in it, and I think the best way to describe it is a modern day one room schoolhouse. It's kind of like a micro school, but it's not a school; it's just a one classroom. But the idea is that kindergarten through sixth graders are all in the same room learning together with a teacher facilitating the instruction. So it comes from, you know, some parent feedback that we've heard, a desire for something different for their kids and ways to learn and opportunities to learn. It allows an entire family to send, you know, all siblings together with just one teacher. It allows for opportunities to accelerate, and the whole vision of it is really focused on project-based learning. So the students learn the standards, you know, the kindergarten students learn to read, and the fourth grade students learn, you know, U.S. history, just like all the other students in the state do. But it's individualized, so there is some, you know, working on it on digital platform kind of independently to learn some of those standards. But then a lot of it is project-based learning, and students, you know, a second grader might pair up with a fifth grader and they do a project together, you know, that might demonstrate their learning through art or through, you know, a digital web page or, you know, all sorts of different types of things. So, you know, we feel like there's a parent desire for, you know, these kind of micro school type opportunities. And we think we can fit it, you know, fill a need for parents in the community that are seeking out something like that. And like I said, it's a pilot. We're testing it and trying it. We'll track the data. We'll track the interest from parents. And, you know, if we see a lot of good outcomes as far as student achievement and, you know, more parents want this opportunity, we'll expand in the future. And if it doesn't work out, we'll, you know, put it on the shelf and you know, regroup and see what else we can do to meet the needs of parents and kids in our community.
USD 259 is developing a new student code of conduct. Why is this being done now?
Yeah, why now is a good question. So back in spring of 2022, the Department of Justice at the federal level launched an investigation into the district that kind of had two tenets to it. One of the tenets was about what we call student seclusion. So students who are dysregulated being, you know, secluded in a room and allowed to calm down. And then the other tenet of it was about disproportionate administration of discipline consequences like suspensions and expulsions based on race and also referrals to law enforcement based on race. So their investigation, you know, which took 2 years, you know, they came and toured the district. We provided them all sorts of data. You know, the conclusions that they drew were maybe a little bit different than what we believe to be true, but their final conclusions, you know, said that we have room to improve in both of these areas, that some of our seclusions weren't following proper procedure and guidelines, even though we were following, you know, the guidelines set out by the state of Kansas. This is the federal government who's telling us we needed to adjust those expectations. And then, you know, on the, you know, race-based administration of discipline, you know, some of the data that they pointed to, I think, was inaccurate conclusions that they were drawing. But nonetheless, you know, I do believe as a district, we do need to become more equitable, you know, in how we treat all of our kids. You know, from one school to another, there was discrepancies in, you know, how different situations were handled as far as discipline goes. So that's really the point of the code of conduct, is to create district-wide consistency for teachers and administrators. And when something happens, here's what you should do, here's what you can do, and when this happens, here's what you should do and can do. The code of conduct itself, right now we're taking input from parents and teachers and everybody, and have had really good engagement on it, and really, really well thought out, intelligent comments, you know, from people in the community. So that's been good and important to this process. But by the end of October, we'll send this code of conduct to the Department of Justice, and they will either sign off on it or tell us there's pieces of it we need to change. So we don't, under the settlement agreement that was agreed to by our Board of Education in July of 24, we don't have, you know, carte blanche to just, they didn't tell us just to make a new code of conduct. It's got to go through them for approval and should be in place by January of 25. So we're hoping for more consistency. We're hoping for better equity for our kids. We know we need to do better in this area. And I believe even though the process, you know, changes hard and the process will have its pain points at time, we will have an opportunity to really come out stronger as a district and be better off in how we can treat all of our kids equitably with these situations.
Something that I've been personally involved in, and that is alumni. People who've gone to school in the district, and we've done it at my high school, but I know that others have too. Are you getting some better involvement from alumni and people who will, you know, do anything to help out with donations and all kinds of support? Are you getting good support that way?
Yeah, I would say so, and I think it's, you know, it depends on the high school a little bit. You know, some of our high schools are older than others, so there's different stages of alumni. But yeah, you know, in June we launched a WPS foundation. So the district had never had a district-wide umbrella for a foundation as a 501c3. So we have a board of trustees that's a rock star group of people, and we're building and growing growing that foundation. But under that foundation, you know, we have these different alumni groups that are very, very supportive. You know, a lot of people love Wichita Public Schools, even some that aren't alumni. I constantly am humbled by the outpouring of support from our community to support our kids and our schools. So the foundation is just a kind of a clear, more direct avenue for breaking down barriers to help kids have opportunities. Because, you know, we have our challenges in Wichita Public Schools. About four out of every five students are living and growing up in poverty, and about 35% of our kids don't speak English as their native language in their home. So, you know, those are challenges. Again, they're great opportunities. The diversity of our district is incredible and great, and part of what makes us who we are. But those alumni, you know, coming through and continue to love on our schools and our kids, it's important and it's needed.
Does the school district have enough teachers and the right kind of teachers in the right slots?
Yeah, you know, I think that's an important question, important story to tell. That as we were closing schools last February and March, you know, we closed four elementaries and two middle schools, an extremely hard decision. You know, those are learning communities, some of which have been in our community of Wichita for, you know, over 100 years. So really, really hard decisions. But part of those decisions, as I mentioned earlier, was a budgetary one. But the bigger part of that was a staffing one. We, since COVID, year after year, we had gone, you know, with 200 teaching vacancies, you know, unfilled positions that we used some long-term subs for. Sometimes we had to, you know, change, you know, spread students into other classrooms to make bigger class sizes because we couldn't find teachers. And by closing those schools, we were able to take those staff and fill the other positions across the district. And we have very, very few vacancies to start the year compared to what we normally do. I believe, you know, we started the year with maybe 25 long-term substitute teachers, and a year ago that was closer to 100. Paras are the same way. The number of paraprofessional vacancies we have is much, much lower. You know, we still need special education teachers, math and science teachers, but yeah, we have very, very few vacancies compared to the even before COVID, to be honest. So,
my brothers and I went to Hadley. Oh, there you go. That's all I'm going to say.
Sorry.
That's all I'm going to say. Hey,
I feel like everyone I talk to, you know, has a connection to one of those schools. Yeah. So yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
My wife went to Hadley too. So.
Okay. Challenges. Yep. What's your biggest challenges? Your biggest challenge for the year ahead? Give me one if you can.
Well, you know, I think as we move forward, you know, we consolidated the schools. That was a big challenge from last year. And as we look forward, we're seeing, you know, just an aging infrastructure in our schools. You know, our average age of our school buildings is over 60 years old. And, you know, we have a decent, you know, portfolio of schools that are, you know, not you know, North High and East High, your traditional, you know, architectural gems of the community, but other schools that are aging and become really expensive to keep going. So I think that's the biggest challenge moving forward this year is, you know, how do we continue to be innovative, meet the needs of today's learner with modern learning spaces to continue to see our achievement grow and to see our kids do well with the facilities we have. And so, you know, we've been going through the past year, facility study and looking at the dollars and cents of it. And so I think this year is really going to be a year of, you know, asking the community to support, you know, updated facilities, you know, all across the school district. So we'll see what that finally looks like. The board's going to vote in August for finalizing kind of the step one of the plan that we have, and then they'll make decisions in September about how to fund that plan. And once we have those decisions made, I think that'll probably be the challenge of 2024-2025 is how do we tackle you know, making that plan a success. Okay. And doing right by our kids and our community.
And there we are out of time, and thank you, sir, for being with us, spending some time with us this morning. And our guest, Wichita Public School Superintendent Kelly Bielefeld. That's all for this edition of Issues 2024. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.